Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. Not to reveal too much about myself, but I've been looking up online just in the past week, mostly on Google, vitamin D deficiencies, my kid's summer camp, because I can't remember the zip code. I can't keep it in my head, and I owe her a letter, and a drink recipe that would include rum, ginger syrup, and whatever else I have in the fridge. And I looked up some other things I don't think I want to tell you about. Maybe you did too. Something maybe more intimate. And thinking these searches are private, I think I'm covered and you are too. But if they became public, it could be embarrassing or worse. Maybe if info got into the wrong hands, could end a career. Boston Globe tech reporter Hiawatha Bray writes today about privacy, as he has done in the past. He joins us now to talk about why our searches, which we think are private, might actually be traceable. Hi, Hiawatha.
Hi.
Can you explain this? Is this new that my searches could, and that's an emphasis on could, end up being public? How is that possible?
Well, I don't know how much of it is new. It's just that some folks in Germany who really did this research late last year and talked about it just last week in Las Vegas at the DEF CON Hackers Conference, these guys in Germany did some research and found out that by using a bunch of stuff, much of which has probably been out there all along, you can, in effect, de-anonymize people's internet behavior and find out exactly who is behind certain kinds of activities, and thereby know pretty much everything you want to know about their lives. What it involves is the fact that there are companies out there known as data brokers. I'm sure you've heard of them. But these guys buy information about people from all kinds of public sources. And it turns out that one of those sources are those little plugins that a lot of us like to use in our browsers.
What was a plugin?
Plugins and extensions. They're slightly different. But there are pieces of software that you can install in popular browsers like Chrome that will do certain things. You can put a game into the browser so that it appears right in your browser. You can plug in an ebook reader, or you could plug in a weather app or something like that. Mm-hmm. There are hordes of these things floating around, thousands of them, and many of us attach them to our browsers. Some of them actually collect the data that you are clicking on when you are using your browser, and they sell the data to data brokers. They are simply selling what is known as the click stream, all the various things that you've clicked on in the course of your using your computer. Now, the problem is that this stuff is supposed to be, in theory, anonymous. They don't say whose computer it is. They just say, here's somebody's click stream. And these companies would tell you, we're not violating anybody's privacy because we're not sharing the identities of these people. But two German researchers, one of them was a TV reporter and the other one is an actual data scientist, decided to see if that was true, because what they thought they could do would be to take those click streams, analyze them, and pull out information that would reveal who these people are. And they found out that they were able to do it thousands of times.
Right, but it wasn't simple. Like, it wasn't that I could go in there and figure this out. They had to come up with a code to do this?
They ended up writing some software to do it. But the point is that the kinds of people we're worried about who might be spying on us, like corporations or governments, they can do that too. You and I as an individual, we probably couldn't do it. The typical hacker, they couldn't do it. But could a major corporation do it? Of course. Could a government agency do it? You bet. And what they were able to find was amazing. They were telling members of German parliament what drugs they were prescribing, what drugs they were taking for various medical ailments. They were able to figure out, in other words, these people's, at least part of these people's medical histories. They were able to track down a judge who had a taste in pornography. They figured out that the click stream belonged to a specific person who turned out to be a judge and who also looked at porn.
So note, I'm a layperson, Hiawatha. How is it different than cookies? Or how is it different than how an engine, a search engine, or my carrier might be tracking me now?
Well, we've got to think about this on multiple levels. You just saw this big deal with Trump administration and Congress shooting down some Obama-era regulations about your ISP sharing your data. Now, that one is particularly sensitive because your internet provider knows exactly who you are. They don't have to hunt around to find out. They know who you are. Now, they have insisted that they don't sell this data and they don't give out personal information about their users. But this regulation that would have forbidden that is no longer in effect. And so, in theory, they might be able to start doing that. But what happens if you've got clickstream data that really doesn't have somebody's name in it? You really don't know who this person is. Well, what this guy found out in Germany was that there are a variety of tactics you can use to simply figure out who the person is. Give you a perfect example. Twitter. If you use Twitter, and if you're a celebrity or you're a politician, there's a good chance you're going to go to this page called Tweet Activity and see who's looking at your tweets, which ones they're looking at, what are the most popular tweets, which ones are getting the most reaction to. If you go to that page, one of the things that's included in the clickstream is your real Twitter handle. It's right there, right where everybody can see it. If somebody has access to the clickstream, they just look for everybody who went to tweet activity and they pull out all their Twitter names. You now know who that person is. You know exactly who it is. They say that they found something like 10,000 people's identities just by doing that one method. And that is relatively easy.
Right, and relatively alarming, I would say.
Yeah.
Is it legal in Germany for this clickstream data to be sold and also to be for you to be identified as the user of said drug or watching such movie?
Well, that's a complicated question because nobody's actually apparently come after these guys. But, and I was talking to one of the reporters who did this, under German law, it doesn't sound like it ought to be legal because it is against the law to share personal information about anybody without their explicit permission.
What about in the U.S.?
Right now in the U.S., there's no law against this at all, except, well, there's FTC regulations about sharing personally identifiable information. So maybe the FTC might intervene. But there's no, as far as I know, explicit law against it. There's certainly no federal law that flatly forbids it. And so, because here's the problem with this. You could make an argument that they are not sharing personally identifiable information. Like I said, they say, hey, there's no names attached to this. We haven't done anything wrong. The problem is that somebody who buys this information can use other methods to then attach a name to it. So it's an open question whether any existing law would have any application because you're not really selling the information with the names attached.
Hiawatha,
so they could say, well, we haven't done anything wrong.
Hiawatha, we have just a moment left. What can anyone do to protect themselves against this from happening? Let's say we're in the U.S. If it's happening, and is there going to be conversation about this, as far as you know, on any kind of legislative level?
Well, that's really weird because one possibility is to just not use browser extensions because it's very difficult to know whether a browser extension is doing this or not. You might try contacting the people who make your favorite browser extensions and say, are you doing this? Ask them and find out if they're willing to tell you. But if somebody wants to build a browser extension that does this and they don't want to tell you, you may not have any way of knowing. So you might be better off not using them at all. In the long run, I think we're going to need a law that just flatly says you can't do this without getting the person's permission. Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee who was widely considered an enemy of internet privacy because she was opposed to the Obama regulations, has really turned on a dime, and she's put forward legislation that would do exactly that. It would make it illegal to share any information about anybody unless they gave explicit permission.
Hiawatha Bray, thank you so much for bringing this to light. I hope we haven't set off too many alarms, meaning this isn't happening. This isn't necessarily happening right now, just to clarify.
It might be. No, the problem is we don't know, because all that this guy demonstrated, the German hacker demonstrated, is stuff anybody with enough resources could be doing right now.
Okay.
We don't know for sure whether it's being done, so beats me.
All right, we'll check in on this. Hiawatha Bray is the tech reporter for the Boston Globe. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.